Welcome to the We Raise the Stars and Stripes Over Japan podcast. My name is Mark Steven Schwartz, and it is both an honor and a privilege for me to read the diaries from Allied and American civilian prisoners of war interned in and around Kobe, Japan during the Great Pacific War, World War II. This is episode number 37. February 21st, 1943. Harold Brinckerhoff. Today is very cold. It snowed last night. There is lots of snow on the hills, but little on the ground here, only in the protected spots. The doctor came here and vaccinated all of us for smallpox. There are several cases in this neighborhood. I bought 7 scarves for the ladies, 1 each for all my nearby lady relatives. I am getting so many things I will have to get a trunk to put them in if I don't stop. Grant Wells threw a little birthday party for his young daughter is not seen. He's not sure of the date of her birth, as the letters he had received from his wife were the 2nd and 3rd she had written, and he has not received the 1st in which her birth date was given. I received Mother's 2nd letter and have not received her 1st. Fortunately, I received Elzada's 1st. Elzada says she is missing me, saying, "My mama was the best-looking woman there. I miss her daddy boy." Blackout screens for our bedroom windows have been issued. We are to have nightly blackouts soon. I was in hopes we would get out of here before things begin to pop, but looks as though I will be doomed to disappointment along that line. We are to have our monthly allowance cut to 30 yen. As yet, we have not received any explanation. The Swiss consul is supposed to be here tomorrow. I slept with 8 thicknesses of blankets and a comforter over me last night. Several of the fellows' hands look terrible from chilblains. I have not suffered from the cold. I'm still wearing my shorts. It has been quite warm until last night. We were congratulating ourselves on what a mild winter we were having, but it looks as though we were premature. Harold Arab's wife presented him with 2 boys on the 19th of February. She is a woman of 40 years, and their youngest girl is 16, so they had quite a layoff. Harold is as proud as a peacock. We all knew that he had twins before he went to the hospital, but he only knew he had 1. His wife sent word to tell Harold. He named 1 Richard and the other Harold. Roy Henning. Sunday. Very cold day again. Finish my graphic representation of overlap test. February 22nd, 1943. Max Brodowski. Today is my mother and father-in-law's anniversary, 57th. Dad is 84 years old. My best wishes. Receive news that we will be able to write letters each month, 100 words. That is the best news yet. Harold Brinckerhoff. I took a swell cold last night. I was stopped up all night. I only ate some prunes for breakfast, 2 tangerines for lunch, and a cup of hot tea and a plate of soup for dinner. I stayed in bed all day. I hope I shall not stop up tonight. This is the first cold of any consequence that I've had since being in Japan. We received instructions we can write letters of 100 words once a month. If we write with Japanese characters, we may write 2 500-word letters each week. I may try to write some Japanese letters. If I were sure the censor in the U.S. would make a copy and send along with the original, I would write one. I have my letter to Elzada written. It is exactly 100 words. I will get someone to type it tomorrow. Washington's birthday today, but it doesn't mean too much here. Roy Henning. Swiss consul comes. Allowance cut to 30 yen and 20 yen clothing allowance. Consul comes again on Wednesday. More info then. February 23, 1943, Charles F. Gregg. Surprise! Permission was granted for us to write one letter per month to a relative. Letter to be in English and not to exceed 100 words pertaining to our health and related ideas. Wrote to Dad and family. Roy Henning. Had whale blubber for dinner. Wash my head, little hot water. Very cold, little snow falls. February 24th, 1943. Roy Henning. Write 100-word message to folks. Spend half the day in composing it. Will be allowed to send one per month. February 25th, 1943. Charles F. Gregg. Herzog came today with our monthly allowance, now reduced to 30 yen, $7 per month. However, all dental and medical bills will be paid by them, the Swiss consul. We will also be allowed a clothing allowance of 120 to 140 yen per six-month period. They are going to endeavor to secure shoes and clothing for us from Shanghai. Swiss consul is also sending cable to companies, Pan American, to tell our families we are okay. During the past week, there have been several inspections of the camp. One of these was by an official from Tokyo. Results: all tools, electrical equipment, etc., removed from possession of the men. The sending key belonging to the radio fellows was also confiscated, even though previous permission had been secured for its use. News and papers. Stalingrad fell to the Russians with loss of 200,000 Germans on February 3rd. Kursk retaken February 9th. Rostov retaken March 14th. And Kharkov March 17th. Germany closing all unnecessary stores and mobilizing all available manpower, admitting stark danger from communists. Stalemate in Tunisia with heavy losses to American forces. China front becomes active with Japanese spring offensive starting, with appearances of Chinese relief starting the fighting. Papers report various leaders of the United States stating Tokyo will soon be bombed from China bases. Also threat to retake Burma. Roy Henning. Read Kitty Foyle all day. Finished it. Very good book. Study trigonometry, photography. Whitey, Alton White, has bad appendicitis attack. February 26, 1943. Harold Brinkerhoff. One of our fellows met another from the Butterfield House the day before yesterday. He said the Swiss consul had been there on the 20th and had told them there was a ship leaving very soon. But due to the fact that there were 3,000 persons in Shanghai, we probably would not go. The consul was here. He said there was absolutely no news of an exchange, so someone was a big liar. He gave no reason why we were cut to 30 yen, but we can draw up to 150 yen over a six-month period for clothing. All money advance is to be paid back to the U.S. government at the rate of exchange at the time of the particular loan. I guess my vaccination took as it is festered up. Things are tightening up. We had an inspection by some men from the Foreign Office the other day. All tools have to be sent home or are to be confiscated. There will be no more working on radios by the Pan Air men. The Pan Air operators had a practice sending bug in our room. That was taken away. There were some men here yesterday measuring along the property. I was told that a fence is to be built around the place. We have not had rice for a week now. Our meals are still good, but the quantity is less. I had a terrible dream last night. I dreamed that I had a truck parked at the curb and Kenny was sitting in it. Some wild guy made a turn and crashed right through the front of it. It seems the car had no tires on the rims. There sat Ken and one of the wheels ran over his feet, cutting them off. I awoke in a terrible sweat. I had to remove the shirt of my pajamas as it was soaking wet. That's the only terrible dream I have had. I hope the last. February 27th, 1943. Roy Henning. Smallpox makes blisters on my arm today. Weather sunny again. Lots of exercise. Reading mid-channel. February 28th, 1943. Harold Brinkerhoff. There was an article yesterday about the number of Japanese in foreign countries. There are 560,000. Less than 1% are interned, but nearly one-third had to move inland. Of course, the paper made no mention of the percentage of foreigners in Japan who are interned. Someone said 97% of enemy nationals here are interned. There are 29 of the 90 men who have been interned to this house who are over 60 years of age. There's Hickman, 77, Kitson, 74, Vaughn, 74, who are here at the Canadian Academy. Roy Henning. Sunday, Ma's birthday. Sign letters to go home. Newspaper runs news of an exchange. Weather very mild. March 1st, 1943. Max Brodowski. Rainy day today. Went to Dr. Kaneko. Came home in a taxi. Were issued two Red Cross units. One Canadian and one American. Only a couple left per man. Wrote a letter to my dear wife. We'll copy it here. Kobe, Japan, February 23, 1943. To Mrs. E. Brodowski, care of the Bell Bazaar, 3030 16th Street, San Francisco, California, United States. Dear sweetheart, received your first three letters, one from Bell. Happy all are well. Wrote other letters May 1942. Told the people you mentioned of your contacts with their families. My gratitude to PAA. Appreciate Beecher's kindness. My regards to them. All well here. My weight 195. Japanese treat us well. Get medical and dental care. Red Cross boxes, gift from heaven. I hope we can get more. Congratulate Mother and Dad, 57th anniversary. Don't worry about me. All my love to you. Sweetheart, you are tops. Continue with your chin up till we meet again. Love to all the folks. Regards to all our friends. Max Brodowski. This letter limited to 100 words. I condensed it as much as possible. I hope my sweetheart gets it soon. Rumors are rampant again about exchange of nationals between the United States and Japan. I hope it comes off this time. We've now been here in Kobe 1 year, 1 month, and 7 days, all this time spent in a house, once the property of Butterfield and Swire, agents for the British Blue Funnel Line. It is a large house consisting of 9 rooms. There are 56 of us in this house. No house is big enough for 2 families, let alone 56 different individuals, but we get along pretty good considering the stress we are under. There have been a few quarrels, none real serious. The weather is getting better, almost spring. Still cold, some days are sunny and warm. The days are spent in the yard where we play quoits, golf, or catch baseball, or just walk around and round the path. This climate at Kobe does not seem so bad this year. It is a pretty good climate, though the months of July and August are terribly sultry and hot, around 95 degrees Fahrenheit and humid. September, October, and November are beautiful, as are April, May, and June. We have been here the year round and have seen all the blossoms and flowers come and go. Also the many different insects. Our existence is monotonous, but we get along and pass the time somehow. I've been on many shopping trips. Also quite a few hikes in the beautiful hills and forests of Kobe. Roy Henning. Had bad night, little sleep. Have fever all day, feel rotten. Arm hot, swollen. All four shots take. March 2nd, 1943. Harold Brinkerhoff. Things are going up. Amusement tax up 200%. Luxuries up 80%. Fish of all kinds up $1.60 or 1.6 yen per pound. George Conklin held a hand in bridge last night, which is held only once in a million hands. Here was the bidding. One club, two pass. Three hearts, four three spades, five found diamond, six pass, seven hearts, eight double, nine pass, 10 pass, 11 redouble. Number 4 led ace of spades. Number 3 laid out his hand, which was 13 hearts. There are various and sundry crazy conversations taking place in our room when we all get into bed. Every conceivable subject has been discussed at one time or another. Wisecracks fly about like chaff. Last night, Bob Vaughn said, "Grant, you and I will have to start an airplane and rocket garage when we get home." From somewhere came, "You'll have to suspend a sign somewhere around 2,000 feet. From another quarter, "Rockets changed here. Flats fixed in transit. Get your weather charts here." The crowning crack was "Deposit Your Money in a Cloud Bank" by Arvidsson. Roy Henning. Fever gone in the morning. Still have a dull head. Spend most of the day in bed. Katayana brings pajamas. Order one pajama and two shorts. March 3rd, 1943. Roy Henning. Feeling better. Sleep in morning. Have soup with rooster combs, livers, and feet in it. Cold weather. Took good warm bath. March 4th, 1943. Roy Henning. Received 3 American and 3 Canadian kits. Trade for 4 cans of Klim. Receive a third of a Canadian kit and 1 Canadian kit from Harris. 2 earthquakes in early evening and shocks. Another quake at 5 a.m. shook the house violently. March 5th, 1943. Harold Brinkerhoff. Last evening about 7:30, we had a pretty good earthquake. This morning at 5:05, we had one that nearly rolled us out of bed. Effective today, we have to arise at 7 a.m., roll call at 7:30. Heretofore, we have had no morning roll call. The menkais have been cut to twice a month. There are to be regular exercise periods, where before we have freedom of the grounds at all times. No card games in the morning. After April 1st, we will arise at 6:30. We had a group picture taken this morning. Our head guard is being sent to Mark's, and we are getting the skull, Matsuda. The detention houses are as follows. Number 1, Canadian Academy. Number 2, Eastern Lodge. Number 3, Butterfield. Number 4, Mark's. The head guard read the orders received from Tokyo. The camp president translated. It said these measures are being taken to reciprocate for the treatment of Japanese in enemy countries. The Japanese press is playing up that they must not neglect the ideological propaganda warfare. They have coined a phrase, "Smite the foe to the finish." There is an article about a second generation Japanese in the United States who wrote a postcard to J. Leroy Johnson, representative from California. Her complaint was that they in the internment camp had to buy meat, butter, eggs, and fruit on the outside when they should be furnished. J. Leroy was taking it up in Congress. We here would be only too glad to be able to buy such things outside or any side. The woman further complained they were given for supper that day beans and pickled daikon. She said, "We of the second generation detest our native country's food. If we could only be free on the outside, we would be satisfied even if we had less to eat. Airplane losses in the Solomons and New Guinea areas from February 16th to March 5th, 1943. 69 by anti-aircraft fire, 25 by fighters, with a loss of only 7 Japanese. Roy Henning. Overcast and cold. Read and study trigonometry. About 10 p.m. had earthquake again. Finish mid-channel, a good book. March 6, 1943. Max Brodowski. Nice day, still chilly, but spring is fast coming. Yesterday went on a hike. Took her lunch and hiked to a lake in the Kobe Hills. Rented rowboats and got a thrill out of just rowing a boat. It was really something after almost a year and a quarter being a prisoner. Went to Dr. Kaneko today. Our Red Cross units will soon be a thing of the past, and we may have some lean days ahead. Charles F. Gregg. Committee meeting, extraordinary, due to news of forthcoming restrictions. General letdown. Hilarity. Resulting in 12:30 a.m. roll call. Roy Henning. Mild day and sunny. Study, read, exercise, arm going down. Had Harry Burroughs stew today. Very good. March 7th, 1943. Roy Henning. Sunday. Sunny weather. Matsuda-san is leaving here. Shave, work trigonometry, practice music on mandolin. March 8th, 1943. Charles F. Gregg. The head of this camp, Mr. Mita, was transferred to Mark's camp, and Mr. Matsuda came here as our new chief. At the same time, new and more stringent regulations were promulgated by the head office. Family visits are now limited to twice a month, 30 minutes per visit. Roll call at 7:30 a.m. and April 1st, 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. Exercise time reduced, house servant released, and all cleaning to be done by internees, as well as numerous other petty limitations. Excuse for new regulations was to conform with treatment given to Japanese abroad. Newspapers say there are 6,000 civilian Americans interned in Philippines, 3,000 in Shanghai with 1,500 interned, and 300 in Japan. Small chance of our exchange with that large of a number. Roy Henning. Overcast and cold. Study trigonometry. Reading Easter Island. Lights turned out 10 p.m. for a week now. March 9th, 1943. Roy Henning. Sunday, windy day. Study photography. Dr. Kaneko visits, examines anyone unwell. New dentist appointed for group. March 10th, 1943. Roy Henning. Had sukiyaki for dinner. Spend morning on trigonometry. Do big laundry in afternoon. Sunny weather, cold wind. March 11th, 1943. Harold Brinkerhoff. 15 months of captivity. I hope it shall not be 15 more. There have been articles in the paper yesterday and today by high government officials warning the people to be prepared for the air raids that are inevitable, that the situation is every day growing more acute, has reached a critical state. I read where Pan American Airways is to open a new route from Miami, Florida, to Chongqing. The papers say food is very scarce in the U.S., that housewives are allowed only 5 cans of tinned food per month. Meat is almost unobtainable, and even vegetables are rationed. I just reread Elzada's letter. I have read it at least once a day since I received it, sometimes more. I'm afraid I shall have to make a copy as the original is apt to wear out at the state of the handling that it is receiving. I'm becoming more fluent in Spanish. We have 3 1-hour classes per week. Monday, we have translation. We are translating Alice in Wonderland. Wednesday, we give a story. Friday is open discussion. We usually discuss current events. Roy Henning. Mikado's meals pick up a little. Have good lunch, but very little, though. Trigonometry study all morning. Sit in sun part of the afternoon. Wash my head. Small quake in the afternoon. March 12, 1943. Harold Brinkerhoff. There are 8 or 10 beautiful scarlet camellia trees in the front yard. They blossomed all through the coldest months. I see by the paper that on the average, 150,000 people die of tuberculosis every year in Japan. Roy Henning. Sunny weather, nice in the yard. Study and dining porch. Quake at 4 a.m., medium shake. Practice 1 hour of music with Bob. Meatloaf for dinner. Haircut from Max, Maxim. Wash hair. March 13th, 1943. Roy Henning. Had flying fish for breakfast. Very good. Studied trigonometry all morning. Read Captain Hornblower. Bob and I start playing harmony and mandolin and Bryant Sterling on guitar. March 14th, 1943. Roy Henning. Sunday. Weather very nice. Spend several hours in the yard. Work trigonometry. Bob and I work out several more pieces in harmony. March 15th, 1943. Roy Henning. Swell weather. Spend most of the day in the yard. Take a sun bath. Feels like spring. Charlie Craver plays accordion and gang with mandolin and guitar. March 16, 1943. Max Brodowski. Today is my birthday, 49 years old. This is a day when old remembrances throng my mind. I hope the next one finds us all together and in good health. I am in good spirits and my general health is on the uptrend. I still hope for an early exchange, but if I have to stay here a long time, I know that I can take it. The weather is fast becoming spring, and it is gradually getting warmer. The days are monotonous, but somehow pass quickly. I work in the kitchen, wash a few clothes, have a game of quoits, miniature golf, game of cards, read. One day is much the same as the other. Over 15 months of it so far. Roy Henning. Still fine weather. Take sun bath, getting a tan. Take bath, wash hair. Music practice at night. March 17th, 1943. Roy Henning. Weather sunny and nice. Mikado's chow, very poor all day. Study trigonometry and algebra every morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. March 18th, 1943. Roy Henning. Warm, sunny day. Trigonometry study. Reading sun all afternoon. Got a good tan on my chest. Long music session in the evening. And this concludes episode number 37 of the We Raise the Stars and Stripes Over Japan podcast. Thanks very much for listening. Bye-bye now.